This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Man, just starting hour number two of the show and...
Thought we were going to get away from baseball.
Good Lord, we started talking football. We know you guys want a variety within your sports listening day, but the news just keeps on a-coming. So for those of you that said it's old news, turn the page. Here's some new news for you, Barry.
Yeah, Dallas Braden on Twitter retweets so_blessed1, who is the niece of Carlos Beltran, Mets manager. New manager for the Mets.
Old.
And her tweet, yeah. Her tweet at 1:11 p.m. today, my T.O. Carlos is stepping down as the Mets manager. So another name implicated in the Astros cheating scandal. And it looks like the Mets don't want that smoke either. So now he's going to step down, according to his niece on Twitter. We'll see if it's verified. I did take a quick peek at ESPN's front page on their MLB section. Sources, Mets assessing manager Carlos Beltran after Astros fallout. So you take one, yep. You take the other one, he gone.
It's going to be the obvious decision for any owner that gets linked to this.
Absolutely.
It's going to be the easy decision now at this point.
It is, and it's interesting because Lisa, I've converted her in a lot of ways. Because now that she's home, you know, with everything with the baby and everything like that, she goes, you forced me to watch all these sports shows every morning. Now I have questions. I go, okay, fire away. She's like, why is Beltran getting away from all this? Why aren't they punishing him? Uh-huh. I was like, well... because he was a player. And they, first of all, they said all players are being kept out of the punishment phase. But also because now as a manager, you know, he's got a fresh start. He's trying to do something else. She's like, but it doesn't matter. You can't let him get away with it because she read the document as well as I did. And Beltran was prominently a part of it, they said, as well as Cora. And in looking at all that, I did, you know, I started scratching my head too and I started digging up some of the different things that people had said about the yays and nays of should he be punished.
I don't think he should though because he was a player at the time.
I agree.
If the players were off limits, you can't punish him as a manager now.
That's the way I
thought.
He was
a player at the time, but you know, the Mets probably see his name pop up and go, "Bro, we can't have you as our manager. You're tainted now." Like, you're known as a cheater. It doesn't matter that you weren't a manager at the time. You were just a player. You're known as a cheater. You know, we can't we can't have you. If Alex Cora is gone and A.J. Hinch is gone and you were one of the main names in this cheating scandal with another team, we can't have you in here running our organization. It's just, you can't be the face of our franchise.
Yeah, it's kind of a fine line, though, right? Because when you look at it and you say, like you said, I mean, he was a player at the time. If you're not going to punish the players, then you just move forward. As long as he's not going to implement the same system as a manager that they were using.
That's just it. And that's part of what you I mean, there's always going to be that question of integrity if Carlos Beltran is your manager. If he's one of the key players, there's always going to be a doubt. And the Mets probably don't want that.
So Steve Phillips, the former general manager in Major League Baseball, had a tweet that I caught earlier this morning that kind of is apropos. But he said, for those of you that think the Mets should fire Beltran, how can they justify firing him for something he did 3 years ago with a member of another organization as a player and the commissioner didn't deem him worthy of penalties? He's different than Hinch, Luno, and Cora, and I believe what he means by that is, at the time, like we said, he was a player. Now, he's entering his first foray as a manager. So,
we ain't.
Now he's not, right. And so
it's
like I said, it's not going away. And the interesting thing now is going to be whether we find out secondhand or guys start talking, because we said, look, there's kind of like the moratorium's over in certain ways with players to where now people are going to start talking about it maybe a little bit more freely, not the organizations, because as we said, Rob Manfred said he'll fine them. But you know, at some point, players are going to be talking about players.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Fiers ain't the only one that's going to be coming out to say this is what was being done.
Well, yeah, and there's already players from the past that, you know, have said things. So like I said, I mentioned the other day, Preston Wilson, he was like, if you're you know, licking your chops that the Astros are getting. Hang on, because your team's probably next. There's plenty of players that know this has been going on. So,
but again,
it's a league-wide issue. Opening, it is absolutely
as much as you're doing
issue.
All of this to save face for a reputation for a league. You still are opening up a huge can of worms. You got Pete Rose out there saying, "Well, you're going to punish people for stealing signs, which is messing with the integrity of the game itself, and you're punishing me more for just betting on my team." And you're going to have like Roy Oswalt and others saying, and I saw this as part of some of Steve Phillips' tweets, you're going to punish Beltran if you choose to do so, but you're going to justify a GM that traded for a notorious steroid user in Robbie Cano. And he's still going to be allowed to play, and he's going to play for your franchise once you trade for him.
Yeah, but that's different, though. I don't.
But yeah, just like Roy Oswalt saying, though, too. I mean, I'm talking about, but I'm saying,
yeah,
steroid guys are getting millions upon millions of dollars in money. Yeah. The only risk you run is if you're induction in the Hall of Fame someday, but you're getting paid and endorsements and everything else.
I was thinking about that. Which do you think is worse? Is using a video camera to steal signs worse than using steroids? Because I'll tell you one, the first thought I had was I would have to say steroids is worse. And the reason is because steroids travel. And if you're using a video camera, you get 81 games at home to do that. You're not doing that on the road. So you got to go out and it's a fair fight, at least on the road. Or maybe you're the victim of cheating when you're on the road. But the fact of the matter is if you're it's only half the time. Steroids travel. So I feel like the steroids give you an advantage no matter where you're at. And this was isolated at least to half a season and not a full season.
So, and you're right.
As weird as that sounds, but I'm interested in what you guys think. Which one is worse? Was the steroid era worse than the video cheating era?
I think you still got to hit the ball. You still got to do what you have to do, and that everybody's on the even playing field from that perspective to where...
But they're both... If you make contact, somebody's talked about the fact that the bat weighs less. You know, like
I said that.
Yeah, that's you. The bat weighs less. You recover faster. Injuries. If you get injured and you're working out, you can work out. I mean, there's a ton of advantages. Ball go far if you hit it, and yeah, you got to hit it. And but it's the same thing. If you know a curveball is coming, you still have to hit the curveball, or you still have to hit a fastball. So,
what do you think, Nick?
My question. I think the question that I could ask. But the both of you and Joel too, because you're a player, is what makes you significantly better, steroids or the use of electronic sign stealing? How much better do you get by the use of electronic sign stealing, and how much better do you get with steroids? In my unexpert opinion, I would argue that you get significantly better when you do steroids.
I would.
They
agree.
Were smashing that ball.
Brady Anderson's the best definition of all definitions. A second baseman that had like 60 home runs in his career.
Center fielder,
60 home runs in his career, and in one season hit 59 or 60 bombs.
Yeah,
that's significantly better.
When you talk about guys like Roger Clemens, he wasn't you know buff, but he was older.
Endurance.
And it allowed him to recover
stamina and
from going
health.
7, 8, 9 innings. Yeah, you recover
steroids
faster.
Steroids was dirty, man. That's way more.
Yeah,
that was just dirty.
That's where I was leaning too, because here's the other thing. In terms of the sign stealing, and as we just talked about, it seems like almost all teams were doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always knew that they were trying to get an advantage with stealing signs just with their eyes. It's just how many teams went how far, but everybody was trying to do it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, guys.
Okay, I agree. But it's just like saying, well, everybody uses pine tar in their gloves. Everybody uses, every pitcher has it on their arm.
Right.
Does that make it okay?
Doesn't make it okay, but you're saying which is worse.
Because there's actually
steroids
a rule.
Worse.
It's crazy. There's actually a rule in the rule book that says you can't use a foreign substance on the mound. And yet there's no rule about the video camera thing, or there wasn't.
And the Red Sox didn't hide it.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Again, just like we said with the iPads and the dugout and everything else, no one was hiding the fact that they were blatantly doing it. We had the video during the playoffs here on SportsMap with almost every Red Sox pitcher in cold weather just draped in goop on their forearms and gloves and everything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, because Lisa also asked me, she goes, how would Houston have reacted if this was another team and
it was
prevented
the Dodgers
them.
That won.
And they didn't.
Kansas
and they,
City. Nick had brought up KC a couple years ago in 2015.
They'd have lost their minds.
Yeah.
Right? And then to say, well, it wasn't that big of a factor. Hembo, Sneaky Hembo on ESPN, had this stat. And as much as it's painful, Astros fans who keep trying to brush this under the rug like it wasn't that big of an advantage. In the 2017 playoffs, fellas, At home, they were 8-1. They had 18 home runs, 51 runs, had a .273 batting average. On the road, they were 3-6. They had 9 home runs, and they hit .208. That rattled my cage to go, maybe it did help them.
Okay. Can we compare that to any other team that made it that far, like the Dodgers? Can we look at the Dodgers' home and road splits?
We can. Sure.
Because I bet you it's similar. I'd be willing to bet you the Dodgers hit much better at home than they did on the road.
Almost 70 points higher batting average. Almost 200 points higher in slugging. And double the home runs, double the runs. And the record difference is unreal. And by the way, the Astros, 18 home runs and 37 extra bases at home in the playoffs that year. Records for a single postseason.
Okay, whatever, Joel.
That's why it pains me to hear it. That's why this song's apropos. It pains me much to hear that and have seen that and go, man, maybe it did help
him. I'm finding the splits for the Dodgers, and I guarantee you it's going to be similar.
I mean, interesting thing would be the Red Sox in 18. In 2018, the Red Sox. That too. How big of an advantage that was.
Yep.
It hurts, boy. All right, so we'll continue to roll on, but that was breaking news, as it looks like Carlos Beltran is going to be stepping away before he even steps into a dugout as the manager of the New York Mets. So we'll see how that is the next step in terms of how baseball reacts and everybody reacts to that. We'll continue to roll on here. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Man, almost to the halfway point in the show. Flying by, tons of news, lots of things to talk about, and it doesn't stop there. We mentioned Luke Kuechly. One of the other big stories breaking overnight that has a lot of people talking, and it's going to be real interesting to see how this plays out, is another potential scandal at Penn State. Hazing a former player, James Franklin, the head coach, mentioned in the suit being brought up against the university and the football team. And the details, let's just say they're not pretty.
Boy, I tell you what. When I saw what the allegations were that were happening to these kids, it's shocking to me that this takes place and that the head football coach either doesn't know about it or doesn't do anything about it.
It's ironic that so many of these details just insert and change Astros situation, Penn State situation. Who knew about it and to what level? You know, why didn't they do anything to stop it? And the really eerie, nasty part of all of this, before we get you any more of the details, is the players actually referred in the hazing process to portions of it as being Sandusky'd.
Yeah.
They said, not good.
I'm going to Sandusky you. That's terrible. And they said that they were going to make them their bitch because this is a prison. Like, okay, so you talk all that, and that's fine if you're trying to intimidate a freshman or intimidate a sophomore. But then it basically says, and I'm just going to read you verbatim from this article, the actions included wrestling underclassmen to the ground while maintaining restraint, simulating a humping action, wrestling underclassmen to the ground while another participant placed his genitals on the face of an underclassman, and instances of the participants placing their genitals on the buttocks of the alleged victims and stroking their genitals. I'm sorry, that's rape.
Yeah, it's...
That's rape.
It's terrible.
Like, if you did that to me, I am immediately, once you're done, if you got juniors and senior football players holding you down and doing this, obviously there's nothing you can do about it. But once you let me up, I am immediately filing rape charges on you. You put your genitals on my face?
Sexual assault.
Nah, bro.
It's sexual assault.
Like, you might get shot. Like, I might come back and shoot you. Like, that's just... Bro, what goes through people's minds? Like, what football player Thanks. You know what we need to do?
Well, that's where I was going with that.
We need to go get Bobby from his locker and put our balls on his face. How fun would that be?
What? This is where I'm going. If Nick, you're an incoming freshman to the radio program.
Oh, I'm putting them on
your
face.
We're upperclassmen. What benefit is it up to me, especially when I need you, and you're going to be a key cog, whether it be immediately or somewhere down the road, there's a reason why you got a scholarship and you're coming to play here. What benefit to the program and to the results when we know wins and losses drive everything? How are you going to help the program and be better for having gone through, having someone putting their junk on you while being restrained?
It's unreal. And you would think that you're a little bit more mature. Like we always talk about, man, kids are cruel at the middle school and high school level. You would think that by the time they are young adults and in college, that wouldn't be the case. Now, obviously, there's alphas, it's a football squad and everything, but I don't know why that is all necessary. But
I just don't understand the hazing. I get it if you haze someone and you make them drink a lot. Now, and that's even a dangerous game because kids have died from that.
Sure. I told you what I went through.
Yeah.
When I was in college, the hazing that they did to our underclassmen was, especially the freshman class, was on our first or one of our first road trips. You have roommates, and the roommate was supposed to, because they, in most cases they were older, leave the door unlocked, and while you were sleeping, a majority of the underclassmen would come, I mean the juniors and seniors would come in to try and tape you to your bed. And I'll be honest with you guys, I fought like hell, I threw punches, I didn't care, because that's not something I'm used to ever having gone through, and no. I wasn't going to let them do it to me, but at least it was that. And that was
and
the end of it.
And good for you for fighting.
Yeah, but that was the end of it. But some of this stuff, dude, you want to talk about the scorn and the...
You rub your genitals on someone's buttocks? That's just too... Like, that's just... What? I don't have those thoughts in my head that make me think that would be a fun way to haze someone. I don't... That's like...
Why are you doing it in the first place?
Yeah, I feel like that's projecting... maybe tendencies that you have sexually, and you're just trying to be like, oh, we're just joking, right, guys? But I mean, like, you know, later if you, like, what do you, like?
It's a bullying thing. It's obviously kids and even adults get pleasure out of bullying people. They really do. Whether it's
man, but there's sexual, bullying and then there's sexual assault.
Absolutely. It's two complete. But at the same time, that's both. Like you're sexually assaulting someone by bullying. Obviously, that guy was kind of defenseless.
But let's be real. What fascinates me about this, and this is probably going to ruffle a few feathers or upset a few people, but I don't care. But what fascinates me about this is that the things that you're doing and you're trying to be this macho alpha male, and you're literally doing the exact opposite of what macho alpha males behavior would be, right? Like in football, it's manly. You got to be a man. You got to be, don't be sensitive. Don't be a man. You know, thoughts of homosexuality in an alpha male football locker room are just, yo, what? That's crazy. No, I like women. I like chicks. Yeah, I bring a lot of chicks. But then you want to go and put your balls on a dude's face? That, what? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. You're supposed to be this macho bully, but you're literally doing the things that are exact opposite of that. But the irony of that is just fascinating to me.
And if you're James Franklin, okay, and you're coming into a culture that you know has already gone through so much scorn, controversy, all the people that it affected, and you know what? You've been somewhat of a hero because you've got the program winning again. You've got it supposedly back to a position of prominence, respectability, all those different things. And then under your watch, and if you believe the report, he knew it was going on. And as the quote-unquote leader of men, you allowed it to continue? You want to talk about sanctions, suspensions, whatever? He should be facing a ton. Because this is horrible.
If he knew about this. And first of all, in the article, to be fair, to report both sides of it, Penn State said they did their own, the Office of Sexual Misconduct Prevention and Response did an investigation. They didn't find anything. Penn State Police investigated. No charges were filed from the district attorney of Center County. But let's be honest. You've been in college environments. Everyone involved, whether it be the Office of Student Conduct or the Office of Sexual Misconduct Prevention and Response to the local law enforcement, they're all big-time Penn State supporters.
No, that's where I was going.
And do you really think they want this program to be in trouble?
After what they've already been through?
Do you think that a lot of these guys might be like, you know, kids will be kids. Let's not get them. I mean, look, they might win a championship. Let's be...
And as long as nobody's wanting to bring up charges, then we can sweep this under the rug. But again, just like Mike Fiers, you got one guy that's going to step up and speak the truth and say, this is what happened when I was there, and it's wrong. Doesn't matter when it happens. But as you're James Franklin, look, again, you can say, well, I never knew about it. Come on, man. You're the head coach of the football program. You know what's going on with your football program.
It's just unbelievable.
It doesn't have to, if you wait until the time in which a kid actually complains to it, whether it be it to you or the media or someone else, it's already gone too far, and it's already too far, and you're in bigger trouble than that. But because of that program, with that reputation, with all that they have been through, it's even more hyper important that you constantly have a firm grasp on everything going on.
Now let me ask you this. If this turns out to be true, because we don't know.
True.
If this turns out to be true, does Penn State just need to lose their football program?
No.
I don't.
I disagree.
Yeah, no. I don't think that they do.
You've got the whole Sandusky thing with Joe Paterno basically being told, you know, everybody thinks he knew, but he just didn't say anything. Now you've got this. At what point do you just say, you know what, Penn State, you don't get a football team anymore. You just can't handle it.
I mean, I bet you there are people out there that would absolutely agree with you. I think they're going to look at that death penalty situation as precedent. I don't know if they want to get rid of a program like Penn State because they actually were able to bounce, all things considered, they're actually kind of able to bounce back from that situation.
Yeah, that's what I said, James Franklin. Bill O'Brien.
Well, Bill O'Brien, thing is, when James Franklin started, they were only 2 years removed from the Paterno and Sandusky incident. Bill O'Brien was there for only 2 years, and then he started. So it's not like he started and they were very far removed from all that bad reputation that they had. So I don't know. I don't think they should, man. Because that's an era of players that's going to eventually go away.
Here's the other thing.
You don't know that the new players are going to do the same thing.
Like in many of these situations, too, the other thing that's going to see how far you have to go is now because someone's spoken up, how many more players are going to come up and say, I was a part of this. I was a victim of this. They did this to me. And because it's the second time, you may be right that they may look at more impactful major. And the NCAA may.
Yeah.
Well, I think they should rotate their coaches
more. If there was another scandal at Baylor, at what point do you look at some of these colleges and these organizations and say, you know what? From your athletic.
You're just not responsible enough.
Yeah. You just can't handle having this. Like, we're taking this away from you. These are students. They shouldn't have to go through this, and it all stems from your football program. You don't get a football program.
But that's literally the last... I always say two things, man. The one platform where you're supposed to be able to get away with saying things and making a lot of mistakes is a comic platform. And I think another area and time in your life where you're supposed to do a lot of learning is in your college years. A lot of times you can say whatever you want in college because that's when you're supposed to mess up,
but you can't
learn,
sexually
and correct
assault
yourself.
People.
Then you punish.
You can't
rape then you punish those
at Baylor. You
then you punish those that do it, and you move on. Not everybody's is a rapist.
But Nick, if you foster an environment that continues to allow the Sanduskys of the world and the what were the names of the football players that are alleged in this, the Matos and Parsons and Lucchetti of the world, if you're continuing to if you perpetuate that environment over and over again, at some point you have to look at the people that allow it and say you don't get to do this anymore.
Right, and you just said it may not be true, right? So that
doesn't
necessarily
all,
mean
I said if, at this point. I said if, but if it comes out that this happened,
you're right, Nick, that it's the people that do, but it's also the people that knew. Because if you're talking about administrators, not just coaches, but you also got to believe the AD,
athletic director.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I say you look at them and go, you know what? You guys don't get a football program anymore because you don't. Your football program is out here basically committing crimes on fellow students.
But is that fair when you look at all Baylor went through and then you see the phenomenal story of the resurrection of the program and Matt Rhule, obviously.
Great. And if you found out that Matt Rhule was turning a blind eye while three players were sexually assaulting freshmen, yeah, I would look at Baylor and go, you're not responsible enough as an organization to have a football program because it's happened again.
Okay, well, plenty to give you guys to think about as we continue to roll in the second half of the show.
You guys definitely do not agree with me on this.
No, I'm thinking about it because I haven't thought.
I couldn't disagree to begin with. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at some point, you got to say enough is enough, I feel like.
Boy, there's a lot to be said there. All right, second half of the show coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you want to get in touch with the show, and some of you are already on the phone lines, Ryan, we're going to get to you in just a second. But if you want to call like Ryan and discuss Penn State or the Astros or anything else, 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also text that number, and if it doesn't suck, I might read it. Most of these suck, so we're just not reading them. You can also tweet us at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. It's funny because several of you, and I'm not going to agree or disagree, I'm just going to make the statement of fact based on what is coming out into the text line, but several of you are hoping Bill O'Brien is somehow involved in this hazing at Penn State so he gets fired from the Texans. Now, I'm not going to hope that he's involved with it, but I'm still on board that he needs to be fired from the Texans.
I think it was a stepping stone for him, though, anyway. Like, he was looking for the bigger gig.
Oh, well, no, there's no doubt. Yeah, but I'm saying that many Texans fans are hoping that his name surfaces so that the Texans go, well, we're going to have to let you go. I bet you Cal McNair might be kind of hoping that, to be honest with you. He'd be like, oh, sweet, maybe that's the kick I need to be able to do it because he doesn't have the cojones otherwise.
I don't know if it was a stepping stone per se, but I will say this. He looked at it, one, it's just like an opportunity like anybody else gets. It's his first big opportunity. But he kind of knew that if I'm able to turn this thing around and get it going in the right direction, there's not a university or a football opportunity in the country that wouldn't want me to and consider me for the gig because of, you talk about a death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a death penalty without having a death penalty. That was how bad that situation was. And then along comes Bill O'Brien and then Christian Hackenberg. And all of a sudden, they start winning football games. People start taking notice. And Billy O, you think Billy O gets the freaking sniff for the Texans gig if he doesn't do what he did at Penn State?
No way.
Not at all.
Absolutely not. JJ said, I agree something needs to be done about the Penn State program, but you get rid of the program, it's going to have a long-reaching effect on innocent players. No, they're not. No, it's not. Because guess what? Those players go to another school and play.
It's not one less school that you could go and play.
Do you want to go and play somewhere where they put their balls on your face?
Well, that's the other thing.
That's the only place that they get a scholarship. You don't know that you're going to get balls on your face when you go to Penn State.
Well, the other thing
that's not what they're going to think. Oh, man, we're going to get balls on our face now if we go to Penn State. That's not what they're thinking.
They got to be thinking.
I'm just saying there's other places to go play football.
Here's the two sides of that, Nick. You're right in that you would expect that they're going to clean it up. And from a university perspective, going forward, they're going to take measures to clean it up. But on the flip side of that, that's what everybody was thinking after the Sandusky thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've cleaned it up. It's going to be different now. And then you get this story and you're like, well, God, I mean, when are you going to learn?
Yeah. And then not only does it happen again, but you're literally making a reference to it while you're doing despicable things to somebody else. That is an institutional issue.
I would be shocked if that didn't happen in 20 other universities right now. Be shocked. Be shocked if that didn't happen. They got caught. You punish them. You move on. It's like rehab, dude. Like, I'll give you another example. Like, let's say you grew up because, you know, you didn't choose this life. You don't have a father. You grew up on a bad side of town. Because you grew up on a bad side of town, you go to jail. Okay, you go to prison. Uh-huh. It wasn't his fault that he grew up in a bad side of town and he didn't have his father and all that, but he started hanging out with the wrong people. He committed a crime. So what do? You punish him, you put him in jail, and you hope that rehabs him so he can come back and go and participate in society. It's the same thing with college. These kids are immature. You punish them, you move on. To just knock out a whole program, I just personally disagree
with. But sexual assault isn't just a matter of immaturity. It's
and it's going to continue to happen. There's bad people in this world, and there's going to continue to be bad people in this world, and you address it accordingly. You punish them.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if there's a place that continues to, and look, if it comes out that this happened, if it comes out that this was in fact true, and Penn State is now on record saying, well, we looked into it and we didn't find anything, that's, again, institutionally, it's a really bad look for a football program.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the same time, you have third-party people investigating. I mean, unless Penn State is working with them.
Well, campus police, but let's be real.
Okay, well, I mean
campus
if they're working with them, you know, yeah, it probably should have been like a real police investigation. So I didn't know it was a campus. But
somebody brought it up. Remember that hazing incident in 2017 at Penn State where somebody died?
Yeah, that was a big lawsuit.
And somebody else brought up the fact
that... wasn't football. That was just a fraternity.
But somebody else brought up the fact that James Franklin was involved in... There was there's players of his that were at Vandy that were involved in rape that went to jail, and there were allegations that he knew about it but didn't say anything.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, that's just what the texter said. I would have to Google that to see. But I tell you what, if that is also true, that's a big deal.
Basically, any coach, too, that has a long tenure has a... absolute risk of getting his reputation killed, because if an incident happened in 2004 and no one said anything, and then an incident happened in 06 and no one said anything, and then 08, 2012, and then all of a sudden in 16 or 17 something comes out in Alabama about Nick Saban knowing about something and he didn't, they're going to go back over all those years.
It's just like your tweets.
And they're going to use it against him.
It's like
they're
your use tweets it against that him. You know, the people go back and look at your tweets. All it takes is one little incident, and all of a sudden a pro player when he was 16 years old or 18 years old made some racial tweets.
They start
and
they going find back to your history.
Yeah, because you didn't scrub it. But what I was going to say, Nick, is the longer you're in the profession, on the college level, the bigger the chances are. There have been situations they've already dealt with. And in most cases, totally different than the way society is today and how everything has changed. But I guarantee you, most coaches in most programs have had a time or two already in their history of coaching where they had to make a decision about, can I sweep this under the rug? Can so-and-so who got cheating on a test, so-and-so who got his girlfriend pregnant, so-and-so who beat up another guy in the weight room, whatever the case may be, how they handled it then and how they will handle it now has got to be totally different. Because I guarantee you, a ton of these coaches have swept things under the rug in the past and it's never popped back up. But it's a different day and age, and it's a different way you've got to coach, and it's the right way, to be honest with you.
So I Googled the James Franklin thing for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
The headline from 2014 on ESPN, James Franklin focus of case filing. It says that basically... he tried to reach out to the victim, to the rape victim, over the phone, and said that Franklin and Galt told the woman that they cared about her because she assisted with the recruiting. According to the filing, later the defense said Coach Franklin called her in for a private meeting and told her he wanted her to get 15 pretty girls together and form a team to assist with the recruiting, even though he knew it was against the rules. And then that basically he said, I didn't do anything wrong. And that later prosecutors in the case said that not only was this an issue with them, but even the attorney that was trying to do certain things was out there destroying evidence in the case. Dude, I'm sorry. Where there's smoke, yeah, there's fire. This is too much surrounding one person in one program. That's just...
it's kind of like, too, at a certain point, man, when you develop a pattern.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away from that pattern no matter where you go.
It's like if Art Briles gets another coaching job.
Exactly what I was going to say.
And then you're like, oh, something happened on campus. Sorry, Art, but you're a victim of your own circumstances and your past. Sorry. Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to move on and roll on. But we've got other subjects to get to. And we can also, if you guys want to continue to talk about this, the Penn State situation that's just popped up again with James Franklin. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. If you're looking for a new energy provider, or your energy provider right now just currently isn't doing it for you, I'm telling you, Infuse Energy is the company you need to be with. I made the switch about 3.5 years ago. I just re-upped with them again. And I did it because, simply put, they saved me thousands off my previous energy provider. They're very, very good about doing their due diligence, about showing you a complete history week by week of when you're using energy the most, when you're using it the least, It's the same thing they can do for you. If you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. And the person there is going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to identify when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family and your home or your business? And then they're going to develop a plan and a program and a rate that is going to be the perfect plan for you based on what you've told them in terms of details. And you're going to find out it's going to work for you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You're going to get a $25 bill credit off your first bill, and they're going to go from there. Simply put, they're going to take care of you with customer service and honesty. They're going to be honest 100% of the time. That means that there's those rare occasions when another company out there can beat their rates and prices. They're going to let you know, because whether you go with them then or you go with them later, you're going to remember they were honest with me. And that's what I want when someone I'm doing business with. They got a 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get, and that's all you need to know. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Whether you check them out at infuseenergy.com or you call them at 844-INFUSE2, you're not going to be disappointed that you did, because they're going to do what they say they're going to do. It's simple, people. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, rolling through hour number 2. 3-hour show, like, way more than I expected in terms of stories and conversations, discussions, and things going on in and around sports. We've covered a lot for you already. Excuse me.
Good.
But that's kind of what the Rockets did last night. We can get to that as well, too, at some point. I told y'all about Ja Morant.
Yeah.
My man can play.
You were right.
He is good. And the Rockets found out firsthand last night. That's why you don't rest Russ.
Easy said than done.
Yeah, good Lord.
Easier done than said,
I guess. We can get to some of that at some point, too. We were talking about this Penn State scandal.
Yeah.
The latest of which, if you missed, charges have been brought up against James Franklin, players in his program, hazing from a program that's already had to endure so much with the Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno situation. Now this is all front and center. We'll see. Again, it's all allegations at this point till it's proven.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait to pass final judgment, but you can't help but have the discussion we just had because of the fact that there's just so many things to consider in terms of you've already been through so much. Why would you even consider? And if James Franklin knew anything, or the athletic director, or anybody involved, you had to realize you had to stop it immediately.
Yeah. Immediately.
Take action. Yep. Immediately. And you know what? No one's going to fault
right
you for
thing.
It. Yeah.
Do
no one's
right
going to fault you for it, because you bordered on the side of being hyper cautious and sensitive because you had to, and
Look, now, obviously, I'm not trying to suggest that it's okay, but if this were to have occurred at Cal, mm-hmm. okay, the Cal Bears, mm-hmm. it's a lot different than if it goes on at Penn State because of the whole Sandusky thing. If this were to occur at Baylor, it's a lot different because of what has occurred in the past in that program. And that's why I think it's a bigger issue and a bigger deal. It's awful to begin with if it's true, because it's sexual assault and it's the violation of young men that, you know, they shouldn't have had been put in that situation to begin with. But I think it's exacerbated because of the program that it occurred in.
And again, it's so old school. Why is it still going on? I mean, we talk about, we've done so much to rectify the ways of bullying. We've done so much and gone out of the way as a society to address the fact that certain stuff just isn't okay.
I didn't go to college, but if I did, I would have never pledged to a fraternity for that very
exactly.
reason.
Exactly.
You're not hazing me. You're not doing those type of, I don't even like when we're playing around, when somebody puts their hands on me, I'm like, bro, don't touch me.
But yet you grab Nick below the belt.
Well, he hugged me and humped me. He hazed me. He humped me.
I will tell you this, though. A lot of these kids that live around Penn State, it's a tradition. You got to remember that Paterno was like the head coach there for like 45 years. Sure, he was an absolute god.
The hero. Yeah.
And so some of these students and parents, it's like their parents' parents, they all went to Penn State. And it's a family tradition. And they're looking at this school and they're like, you know what? Since I was 3 years old, I wanted to go to Penn State. And despite everything that was revealed about the Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky case, there was still a zillion other families that still wanted to go to Penn State because their grandpa and their father went to that school too. They overlooked it because they wanted to go to Penn State.
Don't make it right,
so you're going to take away an entire program and forget about all these other people that had nothing to do with the situation. Zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
I wouldn't do that. There's no way. I don't think it's going to happen either.
No. But the thing is, Nick, put yourself in the position of being one of those parents that has one of those families that has been a Penn State supporter since birth, okay? But now you got kids. And the last thing you want, whether it be pledging for a fraternity or playing football, is your son or daughter to be in harm's way because of your loyalty to what the university used to be. That's the bigger issue. The bigger issue is it becomes a real reality for you if you're a parent of a child and you're like, I don't care what happened there because I've always said, go Nittany Lions. I'm a Penn Stater for life. However, now I'm telling you, you're putting your kid, whether it be a fraternity, sorority, or the football team, whatever it may be, but I'm telling you, all bets are off, and I can't give you any assurances that your kid's going to be safe.
Not going to get raped.
No one can assure you that. It's the same reason why we put kids in better schools. Does that mean you're not going to get shot up? No.
No, it doesn't, Nick. But at the same time, if I'm leaving my kids in the hands of people at Stanford, Michigan,
where there's no history of this happening.
But there's no history of it happening. And it seems like from the administrators to the coaching staff to the athletic, all these different people seem they got a pretty good grasp on making sure that student safety is priority one. Because it just doesn't seem like it's there.
If it was my son and I found out that the coach knew and turned a blind eye to it, I'd be pissed.
I'd be trying to beat down his office door with a weapon.
Livid. And I understand your point about all the families that didn't have anything to do with this. But at the same time, what about the families that were the victims of it?
Yeah, another thing you have to consider is that, you remember, they hit the reset button. Everybody that was involved in that case, they fired them. The AD, Sandusky, is in jail. Paterno was fired.
And how many reset buttons do you get?
Well,
yeah, but
because it's time again.
But my point is, if I'm an owner of a business and I hire bad people, I find out they're bad people. Okay, I get rid of them when I find out that they're bad people.
Right.
The only thing I can do is hire new people and hope you do a background check. I'm sure they did that with James Franklin. I'm pretty sure he had the credentials to be a good head coach, and so they hired him. Do you think they would have hired him if they knew they were going to put balls on people's faces?
No, but here's the thing, Nick. Once you hire him, one of the things that is the topic of discussion continually throughout his hiring process, and then as they go forward is that one of your main responsibilities is to make sure you are policing at the utmost level because of what this university has been through in the past. Not saying you had anything to do with that, but you better not be a part of anything going forward because it literally, whether it is or not, it could be like a death sentence for everybody, for their jobs, for the university, for the football program, whatever it may be. If you're constantly harping on the guys that you hired, because now it is on your watch, to say, that should have never happened, and it better not happen again.
And think about this, too. I know that they probably make a lot of money from tuition, but how much money do you think they get from the state as an institution? And now as a state, you're providing funds.
Is Penn State private, though?
No, it's Pennsylvania State University.
Yeah,
it's
the state they're getting University money from the state.
Pennsylvania.
They're getting money from the state. And now, as state legislators, you're looking at, we're giving you $200 million or however much money it is, and you're allowing these things to happen on your campus?
I guarantee you they're giving you their $200 million to a bunch of other programs, and it's happening on their campus.
Well, they're not in the news.
Okay.
They didn't have the, you know. I mean, I agree with you. I think this is probably goes on a lot more than we hear about.
Oh, it's all
for
over.
Sure.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
But I'm just saying, man, if I'm a legislator and I'm giving money to an institution and now we've got to do another reset button, what's going on? Like, why are we continuing to pump money into this institution?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. And the other thing you got to remember with a state university, that means you're going to get state elected officials involved in it,
too. That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's
going
to be.
They're looking at it going, well, you funded that. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. So that's an ugly, ugly, ugly situation at Penn State.
Is this your song, Nick?
Yeah, Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. This fits the theme perfectly. Let's be honest.
This is,
I'm going out with a bang.
So I don't know if that was the proper term to use after talking about Penn State.
Going out with a dang.
Oh, hey. All right, so 2 hours in the books. 1 hour still to go. 60 minutes left of the show. Still got to talk about some Rockets. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a shout. 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Final hours next. Right here on ESPN 97.5.